Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
We do it about once a year. So if you're an introvert, hang on. If you're an extrovert, you're about to have your moment. We want you to take about 90 seconds. Find some people around you and just say, I'm so glad you're here. You look nice today. Thank you for coming to worship. Welcome somebody right now, if you will, really quickly around you. you'll make your way back and have a seat, thank you so much. Now, I realize that's not easy for everybody, so if that was tough on you, we won't do it again for a year, I promise, okay? But we're glad to see you and glad that you've come to worship with us today. It is a beautiful day and a great day to gather together. We had a wonderful early service. Looking forward to this hour as well. If you're participating online, please let us know you're there. There's information on the screen right now. If you'll follow those prompts, it'll let us connect with you. If you're a guest in the room, we'd like to know that you're here. If you would fill out the registration attached to the worship guide you received when you came in. If you prefer just to scan the QR code on the back of the seat in front of you, there is a place there where you can do a little registration as well. But we have a gift for you I'd love to give you as you leave at the back door. But thank you for being here. Our church of the week that we're praying for this week from today through next Saturday, it's Pleasant Grove Baptist Church here in Albertville. Their pastor is Brian Gibson. Brian's one of our bivocational pastors here in our community. We're so thankful for someone who really wears multiple hats, from coaching to a full-time job to pastoring. And so there's a lot involved in that. So pray for him and his ministry and for his church. And then our mission of the week this week for today through next Saturday will be the Bridge Ministries in Geraldine. That's a church plant that we have helped sponsor from the beginning. They're just really about 2.5 years old, but what the Lord has done has been amazing. They're now, at this point, averaging right at 200 people on a Sunday. They had almost 300 people on Easter Sunday. That's all from brand new start. What a blessing to know, and so we're thankful for them. So pray for them. Their pastor is Matthew Cole. Matthew is away today, and so Cale Colvin, our student pastor, has driven up to Geraldine to preach there today, so pray for him. He's probably preaching right now. Their service started at 10, so pray for him as he shares there today. Let's pray and we'll carry on in worship. Father God, I want to thank you for Pleasant Grove Church. I thank you for their ministry. My prayer is that you would move in power there today, that you'd bring revival. Father, I pray for the Bridge Ministries. We pray that you would continue to let them be a light in the Geraldine community in that greater area. Father, we pray that many people, boys and girls, men and women, would come to know you through the ministry there and be discipled. Father, I take a second right now and I pray for all the churches in our city. I ask that you might bring revival to our city. Thank you for allowing us to partner with 12 different churches and multiple businesses this weekend with the Building Hope Project to build and frame 6 houses to be sent to South Louisiana from a hurricane-ravaged area. What a blessing it was to be a part of what took place there and to see how we can be the hands and feet of Jesus together, and we are better together. No doubt about that. Thank you, Father. And Father, our hearts are heavy this morning as we turn on the news and we watch and see what began last night and what has continued with the attack from Iran into Israel. And Father, as we see things heating up in the Middle East, this war between Israel and Hamas for 6 months, and to see the bold and brazen way that another state nearby would no longer do so in secret but begin to attack in public. And Father, that brings fear and that brings great anxiety, even to people on this side of the world as they see the world events taking place there. But my prayer is that we as believers, follower of Jesus, could find truth and grab a hold of the truth that we just lifted up in the song, that our fear doesn't stand a chance in your love, that the perfect love of God casts out fear, that even in our fear and anxiety, we can trust in you, that you've got a plan and you're at work. And Father, we're asking that you would bring peace in Jerusalem. We're praying for protection for Israel. And God, we're praying that that land would be protected. It has always been important. It's important now, and it will be important in the day to come. So God, thank you that we as believers can lift up prayer for brothers and sisters and for those around the world. And Father, we're praying that you would move in power there. And God, now as we continue in worship, my prayer is that every last one of us would understand that in whatever circumstance we bring today, if we come with trouble, anxiety, difficulty, pain, something going on in our lives, that you specialize in making beauty from ashes. You specialize in making gardens out of graves. You turn bones into armies. You are the God who did that one day, and you can do it again. So we're asking as we sing about that, that you would move in our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing Graves in the Gardens. You know it, so let's lift this together.
I search the world. There's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Father God, we are so thankful to be adopted sons and daughters. And we stand amazed in the presence of the Almighty, of Abba Father this morning. We celebrate you, Lord. Let's sing this together. I stand amazed in the presence.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And wonder how he could love me, a sinner.
Close your eyes and sing that to him right now.
I need.
Savior, I come to thee. Father God, we need you. We need you now as we open your word. We need you now in our lives. We need the hope of your salvation, of your healing, of your comfort, of your promise, of your provision, of the new life you provide for us. So God, would you speak to us as we open your word? We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated, friends. If you have a Bible, would you turn to Romans chapter 8 as we continue our series that we launched on Easter Sunday called Made for More. We're walking through Romans chapter 8. And last week, we talked about the bold declaration that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set men free from the law of sin and death. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It goes on to tell us early in Romans 8 that the Holy Spirit dwells within those who are in Christ Jesus. And then what we learn is that there is, and this is my word, not the scripture word, but I think it fits, there's a tug of war that goes on between our personal earthly flesh, it's all the desires we have of the old nature, and the Holy Spirit power that now dwells within us and seals us. And in this tug of war, it's a battle. And it's not that the Holy Spirit is not greater, it's that we oftentimes will follow our own flesh anyway. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can walk in victory. So let's pick up in verse 12 where we left off last week. Romans 8:12. It says, "So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit," the Holy Spirit, capital S, "you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." Now, Paul is talking about the victorious, Spirit-filled life that brings life versus the fleshly following of the old way, which leads to spiritual death. So when he says you can be dead, he means spiritual death. When he says you can be alive, he means spiritual life. We can be alive. And it is our responsibility to walk in the goodness of God. Look what he says again. "So then, brothers, we are debtors." What does it mean to be a debtor? It means we are under obligation. Now, don't think of obligation as bad. There are some obligations that aren't wonderful. Tomorrow's April 15th. Everybody's got an obligation coming, right? It's not amen. That's oh my. That's what's coming there. So that's not the obligation I'm talking about. But obligations like this, if you're a father in the room, you have a wonderful, awesome obligation to care and love your children and encourage them. And that's a blessing. That's not just some horrible thing. If you're a husband in the room, you've got an obligation to love and care for your spouse. If you're a wife in the room, you've got an obligation to do so. Obligations can be great. And so we're talking about a wonderful responsibility to be a debtor, not to the flesh, it says, but to the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If you're writing things down, write it down this way. You have been saved by God's grace, but you have a part to play in living as a son or daughter of God. So you've been saved by God's grace. You didn't earn that. But you most definitely have a part to play in living as a son or daughter of God. He adopts us, God the Father does, as his own, as his children. But then we have to walk as his child. Look at the next verse, Romans 8:15. It says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." So we were slaves to sin, but we have been adopted by God to call him Abba, Father. There are only three places in the entire Bible where you see the phrase Abba, Father. They're all three in the New Testament, and they're significant. And the reason is this: the word Father, Abba, Father, the second word is a Greek word that's used over and over in the Bible. But the word Abba is Aramaic. It's not even Greek. So you have 99% of the Bible is Hebrew or Greek, and there's a little bit of Aramaic, and here's one of those places. Abba literally means daddy. Now, my father's in the room today, and I call him Dad. He's my dad. Some of us use the word daddy. Mine's just as affectionate, a different term, but I don't know what you call your father. Maybe you say Papa, whatever the case may be, but here's what I would say to you. This idea of Abba, Father, is literally translated the word daddy, it means father, and the word father means father. So it's as if you're saying Father, Father. Which doesn't make sense unless you understand the significance of what's being done here. The idea is not that it's some unknown, distant father that is up in the heavens and we're just calling him the Creator God Father. No, it's an up close, intimate, and personal relationship father, one that you know, you care about, that knows you and cares about you. And verse 16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So the one to which we cry, Abba, Father, then the Holy Spirit that has sealed your salvation bears witness with who you are, that says you are a child of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we also may be glorified with him. So this idea of adoption in Christ is where we're going to spend the next 10 to 12 minutes. It's important. We've talked about it before, but I want to give you one of the best illustrations I can about it. So I'm inviting my son Moses to come up and help me preach the rest of this together. And so he's going to come. Most of you know Moses is 13. He'll be 14 in June. And this last year, he has really felt a calling from the Lord to ministry, which really does not surprise me at all. I can take it back to when I saw Braden and Moses. Braden, are you, I'll put you on the spot. You come up here for a second. Okay, come on up. So when Braden and Moses are from the same children's home, the same orphanage in Ghana, West Africa, and I'm going to be honest, when they first both arrived here and were really small, everybody thought Braden was Moses, and everybody thought Moses was Braden. But as you can tell, they're very different people. But when they were little babies, I have pictures of them. Even I've got one picture where their hands, their baby beds were side by side in this concrete block room. It was not very big. There were sometimes as few as five kids, sometimes as many as seven in this little room. It was always 110 degrees in this room, and they always had you boys dressed in like fleece pajamas, like footy fleece pajamas in 110 degrees. I'm gonna confess something to you, Braden. Moses would still wear those footy fleece pajamas right now because he's always cold. But anyway, so the truth is, I knew there was a special call for living for the Lord when back then you guys did something that there's no way you remember it, but you were so little when you were first running around, one of the mamas, that's what they called them, the ladies who took care of you, one of the mamas would give each of you a wet wipe, like a little baby wipe, and you would each hold a baby wipe in your hand, and you were very small, and you would run everywhere around that room cleaning every surface with that baby wipe you could. And Braden, you would, now they were speaking, they were being taught from these women who were in the room, they were all speaking Ewe in that room. There was nobody speaking any English, so they learned their first English words in the church service. And so I promise you, this was so awesome. I wish I had it on video. These guys would run around the room with these wipes, and Braden would yell out, Holy Ghost! And Moses would yell out, Fire! And that was there. And so, y'all want to give it a go? No, okay, I'm just kidding. That's all right. So thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it. You can go. All right. So that's the reality. I knew when I was hearing Holy Ghost fire, there was something coming from that. And so it was a powerful thing. And so Moses is going to help me a little bit here to illustrate the truth of adoption. I have, we have multiple kids in our home. Adoption means a whole lot to us, and we're so excited about it. But this is the only one who would get up here and be willing to talk about it with me. And so I'm thankful for that. But here's what I would say. Through mine and Moses' relationship, I'm going to show you some truth about God's word that's important, and it's important that we grasp this. First of all, and that idea of adoption is, you first became my son in my heart. It started with a decision. Here's a picture of the very first time Lily and I met Moses. Look, you're so cute and sweet. What happened? Anyway, so the truth is, it was an awesome moment, and I knew from the first time I saw him, I said, that's my son. That's who the Lord's given me. In fact, that late afternoon, we left the children's home that day and went back to the hotel, and I told the director in charge, I said, This is it. This is who God's saying we're to adopt. And she said, oh, I'm so sorry. Somebody else is adopting him. I thought, no, they're not. But anyway, that's what I was thinking. But I just, in my mind, I just went along with it and didn't know. And I called Lily and told her. And anyway, it was so awesome. The next morning at breakfast, she comes into the little room where we would make our breakfast. And she said, you know, I was totally wrong. That was not him. I had that confused. He's not. So yes, Moses, he will be your son. And I just knew, and it was an incredible moment. So it started in my heart, and God did that. He put that in our heart and in our will. And that's where adoption for you with the Lord started. It started in the heart of God. Scripture is clear. It says you were chosen before the foundation of the world. So you started in the heart of God. And he loves you, and he calls you by name. But adoption had to move forward from there. Then with Moses, we moved into the legal system. And honestly, this is where things became a battle. We were fighting against corruption. We were fighting against jealousy. There were workers there that didn't like that a small child was going to be able to leave that difficult situation and move to the U.S., and why couldn't they move to the U.S.? So they slowed down paperwork. We were fighting apathy, people who really just didn't care. Their version of the Department of Human Resources was horrible. I'm so thankful for what we have here in our county, in our state, in our nation. It is so, 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 so much better, and I'm so thankful for that, but it was horrible there, and it was a long, hard fought battle, and I remember about halfway through part of that battle, we were just discouraged and thinking, is it ever going to work out that we can get this adoption to happen? And someone sent us a picture. So let me set the picture up before you see it. It was not uncommon in a place like a third world country like Ghana for organizations in the U.S., if they're printing, you know, baseball shirts and they have a bunch of seconds or things that misprint a little or just extra runs, what they don't sell, they'll load up in a box and send to a third world country to provide clothing for someone who has a need. And so in this case, someone had provided Tennessee Titans jerseys in kids' sizes for everyone in the children's home. And so what's interesting is they didn't know who the Tennessee Titans were, and they sure didn't know who any of the players were. They just slapped a jersey on each of the kids, and someone in the baby room slapped a jersey on Moses and then snapped a picture, and I wake up to, in my email, a picture, or maybe it came through Facebook, I don't remember, but either way, we get a picture, and in the middle of all the difficulty and not knowing how things are going to go, this is the random jersey that we find for Moses. So he shows up wearing the Tennessee Titans jersey. The player was named Chris Johnson, and he shows up wearing that jersey. Now listen, you may say, what a coincidence. Listen, what's the odds of that, Moses?
100%.
100%. God had a plan. That's no accident at all, right? And so God did have a plan, and it was so encouraging to us, and it was a special time for us. So we never gave in to the corruption that was there. They would ask us to do things. I can remember sitting in one meeting across the desk from a man. I won't call him by name, but I can. And he was their version of like a director of their Department of Human Resources. And he looks at me and I need a signature. And he says to me, you need to put weight on the paper. What that means is put money on top of this piece of paper before I'll sign it, which I didn't do. I acted like I didn't know what he meant. Didn't do it. He ended up signing it eventually and we went on our way. It's the same person that not long after that called on the phone and said, we're trying to move things along, but it would sure be nice if I had a new laptop. And it was just corruption after corruption and thought. I didn't send the laptop, by the way, and that didn't happen. But eventually we won the battle in the legal system as well. So not only was our son born in our hearts and we chose him, the next step was we had to fight a legal battle. And we had to travel. We had to provide resources. We had to make it happen for the legal thing to take place. And it did. However, that's not the end of the adoption story. The same is true for you. You were born in the heart of God. He chose you. And then he made it legal. How? By sending his son Jesus to die for you. And Jesus on the cross utters the words, "It is finished." He has paid the debt in full. And through the cross and the resurrection, Jesus makes it legally that you and I can be adopted as sons and daughters of the Most High King. And so, but still your adoption's not final, just like Moses was not either. Now, yes, he was our son once the legal part happened, but he still wasn't here. He wasn't in our home. He was stuck thousands of miles away in a third world country in the capital city, And for 101 days, he and Lily and Braden and Jenny shared a hotel room in the capital city there in Accra, waiting for paperwork to come through that would say you can go to the U.S. to your own home. It was a long 101 days, and it eventually happened for us and a week later for them. But the reality of that moment was we learn through adoption that it's not enough to have it on paper. You got to walk with that person. He was my son legally, but oh, we wanted a relationship where we could walk together and live together in the same home and do those things. So friends, I want you to understand there are people in this room, God chose you. Legally, you've been adopted as his son or daughter, but maybe you're struggling to walk with him. Maybe you're struggling to live that out. And can I tell you, you are selling yourself short on what the Most High God wants to do in your life as he claims you as his own. So with all that happening, we were able to eventually get you home and be a family together. But the process of adoption physically, this illustration will work for you spiritually. The process of adoption, we were able to provide things through the adoption that Moses would not have had otherwise. Moses, let's talk about those. What's some things that our adoption of you provided for you?
You provided me a new name.
A new name is the first thing. So your official name in Ghana was what?
Prince Moses Mawinyega Johnson.
Say it one more time.
Prince Moses Mawinyega Johnson.
Prince. Now, I'm going to be honest. When we knew we were going to move him to the U.S., we knew that the word prince would not play over real well among your classmates, maybe at school. And so we dropped Prince. So he is the child formerly known as Prince. Right? All right. And so that's the reality of it. And then we gave him the Awe middle name, the Awe Mawinyega. Really hard for teachers to spell and pronounce first day of school. But that's your middle name. What does it mean?
It means God is great.
God is great. So it's a testimony, as hard as it was early, it's a testimony of God's goodness and his grace. So we gave him a new name. When you are adopted, we'll talk about what that means in a moment. But besides a new name, the adoption also gave you?
A new family.
A new family. You had parents waiting on you. You had grandparents. My dad's in the room today. You had grandparents waiting on you, brothers waiting on you, aunts and uncles and cousins and friends who were fierce to protect you and want to be in your life and to have you in their life. And then a faith family that wanted to accept you in and had kind of been walking this journey with us for the year and a half or so. So they were ready for that to happen as well. So not only a new name, you received a new family. A new name, a new family, and what else?
New provision.
A new provision. Now, I'm going to be honest. The children's home where Moses and Braden lived was great. It was those people loved them. They took care of them well. But you need to understand it is not the same and does not provide the same benefits and living structure as you can have here. There were limited issues with health conditions. It was a place that you could easily become sick and health care would be very, very difficult. There was limited food and dietary options. I mean, it was just very, very limited. It was crowded in the house. You came to a place where there are doctors. We could get you to a doctor or hospital in seconds that would care for you. We can get you to someplace nice to eat lunch. In just a few, we're going to do that. We're going to eat some lunch here in a little bit. We could have a place for him to live, a bed of his own, a house of his own. So not only does adoption provide a new name, a new family, but also new provision. What else?
A new inheritance.
A new inheritance. Moses, someday your mom and I are going to pass from this earth. And when we do, I'm leaving you over 100 Christmas village houses, over 50 nativity sets, and at least a dozen First Baptist Church mugs and tumblers. I'm telling you, it's going to be awesome. In all honesty, you think about that. We don't have a lot of money to leave you. Surprise! But it's not the case. But I will say this. At funerals, I say this a lot, but I mean it with all my heart. We get all wrapped up in inheritance, but provision's not about inheritance as much as it's about legacy. And here's what I hope is much more important than we will leave some provision of things. But what we really hope is we leave a legacy in him and in the rest of the family that can be lived out. Not the bad stuff, but the good stuff that can be lived out. And along the way, God provides as well. So when we adopt a child, you give them a new name, a new family. You give them a new provision. What else?
A new future.
A new future. A new inheritance also, sorry, and a new future. The reality is, living in Ghana, West Africa, you are limited in what you can do. There'll be limitations in work. There's limitations. Moses has really wanted to go back for a trip. So our goal is, when he turns 15, to go back to visit where he's from and to be there. But he and I have talked multiple times that it's a hard place to find work. It's a hard place to find a provision. It's a hard place to make a living. It's a very hard place to thrive. And I got to tell you, being able to grow up in Albertville, Alabama, this place is awesome. Listen, I love our city. I love our county. I love our country. We are blessed. Listen, if you have not thanked God for the latitude and longitude in which you live in a long time, you need to do so right now. We are blessed beyond measure. You can do anything you want to do, be anything you want to be. And the reality is that that new future that's provided physically is a wonderful and beautiful thing. And in the context of our family, we hope the possibilities are really endless. So with understanding, I want you to see the illustration of what our physical adoption meant, those five things. Now I want you to understand that the Bible's idea of adoption in the family of God is very specific. And the Bible speaks a lot about adoption, more than you realize. Moses, share a couple scriptures, will you?
John 1 says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." Galatians 4 says, "In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, they're an heir through God."
So the idea of that is this, that Jesus' salvation equals sonship. That's the way we become a son. It's because of Jesus' salvation that God the Father calls us son. That's how the adoption takes place. The Old Testament speaks of God as the Father of Israel a few different times. Honestly, not that many. If you start looking, you're not going to see that word Father in the Old Testament very much at all. But it does say the Father of Israel at least three times, and depending on translations, maybe four or more. But it's the given idea of maybe something distant, the Father of a nation. But nowhere in the Old Testament will you see anyone refer to God as Father in a personal, intimate, "He's my Abba Father" kind of way. And you would surely not see a Gentile ever call God Father. But look what happens in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Jesus changes that. Listen to what he says. He teaches the apostles and those who were around. He says, "When you pray, pray like this." And then he says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Now listen, I don't want you to miss that. God said, Jesus said, call him, when you talk to him personally, call him your Father. Now, I don't know about you, but I learned the Lord's Prayer in King James English. It's beautiful. It was a great way to learn it. I love it. I can still quote it that way. But I think it does a little disservice because it seems so formal that I'm afraid we lose the intimate part of that when Jesus says, "Hey guys, call him Father. Listen to me. Pray and say Father." This was a revolutionary thought. It was not something that they knew to do or ever would have thought of doing. But he says, when you pray, say, "Father, Father," and speak to him. And so what I would encourage us to do is realize the implication of that is this, is that we are to have an intimate, personal relationship with him as Father. So let's go back to this concept of adoption for just a moment. Now, the scriptural idea of adoption that Moses read about, really, honestly, the Jewish idea of adoption, we don't know much about it. We just don't know a lot of details there. But the cultural idea of Roman adoption is pretty well researched, and you can find out a lot about it. And understand, all of these scriptures in the New Testament that talk about that we are adopted sons and daughters of God, one of them he just read from is from the book of Romans, written to the Roman church. So it comes with the idea of the Roman background. And here's what we know about Roman adoption. In America, and in modern times, we adopt children for the most part, into our homes. In Rome, you would adopt an adult. It was very rarely, if ever, a child. And the reason was this: as a Roman man, if you had possessions, you had land, you had a name you wanted to pass on to someone else, and your heir dies, or you don't have an heir, or things don't work out that way, it was an understood practice that they would just pick an adult, someone they admired, someone they believed in, someone they thought would carry on their name well, and they would legally adopt an adult. And it was acceptable not only to adopt an adult, but to also adopt one of your own slaves if you had one that excelled and that you loved and cared for. So it was common practice in biblical days to take a slave and make them your son. Now, don't miss that. We've sung about that all morning. We've read about that already, that that's what God does for us. He takes us who are slaves to our sin, and he pulls us out, and he legally takes us and adopts us and makes us his own. We become children of God when we were slaves to our own sin. Listen, that's an amazing thing to think about. So the idea is this: when we think about what we learn from the scripture, then it's very much like the modern day version of a father and son and an adoption. Now, Moses gave the names earlier and I described them, so now I'll give the names and let him read the scripture. Same few statements, but think about God applying this to your life now. The first thing that happens when God adopts you is God gives you a new name.
1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light." Ephesians 2:10 says, "For you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we could walk in them."
That word workmanship in the Greek is the word poema. We get our word poem from it. It literally means masterpiece. It's like a work of art. So it's the idea, when we talk about that you have a new name, the idea is that God would call you his masterpiece. You have been given, you were created to do his works. We are a chosen people, a chosen race, a royal priesthood. That's what he's done for us. So when God adopts us, he gives us a new name, but he also gives us a new family.
Ephesians 2 says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are a fellow citizen with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God by the Spirit."
Amen. So not only do we have a new name, a new family, we also have new provision. You missing the sheet?
Yeah.
I have some scripture right here for you, Moses. Let's share a sheet together.
Thank you.
Keep going.
2 Peter 1 says, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him, he called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us all his precious and very great promise, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire."
So not only are we by God given a new name, we're given a new family, a new provision, but we're also given, as we already sort of made light of earlier on our version of it, but from God, there's nothing to joke about. He gives you a new inheritance.
1 Peter 1 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead, to his inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you."
A new name, a new family, new provision, new inheritance, and then lastly, we're given a new future.
Philippians 1:6 says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ."
So here's what Moses and I would like you to know today. You can see physically those same things being lived out in us, but the reality is that's exactly what God has done for you. Friends, he's given you a new name. The scripture's clear about that. We don't have to walk in those old ways anymore. He has given you a new family. I loved growing up in my home church. When we had the little welcome time for a second earlier, we did that every Sunday at my home church growing up like clockwork. And every Sunday, after a few seconds of doing that, we would sing the same song every single week. I loved it. It says this, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I love that song. And it was a reminder when I was growing up as a kid that I was so happy to be a part of God's family. Listen, we are God's family together. But not only do we have the new name and the new family, we understand that God is our provider. And he provides for you everything you need for life and godliness. And not only is he our provision, but God is the very one who provides us an inheritance. And the scripture that Moses read says it is imperishable. It will not fade or be defiled. It will last forever and will continue. And that's what God does in us. And then that idea of a new future is this. You are living your present reality, but God's still got a future for you. He's still at work. He's not giving up on what he's doing in your life right now. So whatever you do, don't settle for where you are. I'm about to ask Moses to pray for us to close things out. But before I do, I want to encourage you in these ways. My hope and prayer for you today is this, that we will all stop and hear what it means, see the illustration of modern day adoption, but compare it to what God has done in our lives, and then make a bold declaration. Some of you may already pray this way, but I bet most of us don't. I'm going to ask you for 7 days to try something. Now, it'll be a hard habit to break the way you already pray, but I'm going to ask you for 7 days, starting today, would you be willing every time you pray to call him Abba, Father? Daddy, to stop and think of it as intimate and personal, because that is the God who has brought you new life. He's not just distant and away. He is in your life. He is in your home. He is at work in you. He desires you to follow him and serve him and be like him. So would you pray, Abba, Father? And then beyond that, would you make a decision to be able to seek to live out those truths of adoption in your life? If you've been given a new inheritance, live it. If you've been given a new future, trust it. If you've been given a new name, and you have, begin to walk in that, not the old ways anymore. So would you do that? Would you bow your heads for just a moment right before Moses prays? I'll give you a second and I will ask you with your heads bowed, would you take just a moment to stop and reflect in your own life? Where are you in your walk with Abba? Where are you in your walk with Daddy God, Father God? Would you just thank him for being personal and intimate and real in your life? And then maybe you're like me and you realize you were born in his heart. You were legally adopted through Jesus at the cross and the resurrection. But that whole living at home with him, maybe from time to time, is a struggle. So some of us, it's time to come back home. It's to make a renewed commitment today to get on our knees and say, God, I want to live out being a son and daughter of the Most High King. I want to trust in you. I want to hope in you. I want to walk in you. I want to rest in you. And so would you do that today? As a reminder, Moses, pray for us, please.
Abba, Father, thank you for giving us a new name, a new family, new provision, new inheritance, and a new future. I pray that we will live these truths out and not just hear it and then go on with our usual. I pray that you will give us the audacity to show other people what it means to be a child of God. Thank you for giving us citizenship and sonship into your holy and wonderful family. I pray that we will be a light for you as we go on with this week. I pray that we will be challenged to say Abba, Father, instead of just repeating what we already know. Lord, I pray that we will not just say words off the page or read words off the page, but we will actually believe and live those out. No matter how hard life gets, no matter how distant we feel from you, I pray that we will always know that you are our Father, you are our Abba. I pray that we will continue to show others what it means and what we try to be every day, that we're a slave, we were a slave of sin, but now we are a son or daughter of you. Pray these things in your name. Amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.